Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey everybody, in this episode of the Riverdale After Show, we're breaking down season 4, episode 8, chapter 65, In Treatment. This is a deep episode. We're diving deep into our characters' psyches this episode. We're finding out who loves who most, who's going to get revenge, who's going to murder their parents, and finally, what's the deal with Charles W. Chickens? I know you're waiting to find out. Let's do it.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
It's the Riverdale After Show. Let's go talk to a shrink. Unbox our big baggage and solve it. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Riverdale After Show, bringing down all the insanity that happens on Riverdale on pretty much almost a weekly basis every Wednesday night on the CW. I am Frank Moran, but I'm not the only person here back after this long holiday break. We've got the man who makes this all possible, Ryan Nelson, in the booth.
Thank you so much, Frank. Happy Thanksgiving. I hope you all in the chat had a wonderful holiday. I'll be checking into the chat this entire episode for the Riverdale After Show. Happy Thanksgiving. How was your Thanksgiving, Frank?
You know, it was very quiet, very subdued. It's not, I didn't return home. I didn't cross the continent to become to be celebrated by friends and family like yourself.
I did travel to Delaware. It's a famous state. It's also the first state. No sales tax. Very, very busy on Black Friday.
Yes.
I did not go out this year, though. Did you?
You know, I didn't. And I actually didn't even take advantage much of Cyber Monday. It all pretty much came and went.
I didn't take advantage of Cyber Monday as well. I kind of regret it.
So do I.
Yeah, but I'm not regretting being here with you tonight. And again, everyone, comment below your thoughts on this episode, and we'll be shouting you out throughout the entire show.
Now, I know everybody, much like, you know, us, we're all regular people, and we're ready to sit in and dig deep into shows that we love about or watch a show that we love about. You know, you want to grab a little snack, something to munch on while you're either enjoying a show or you're listening to a recap of it, getting mixed up in the discussion in the chat. Folks, just start chiming away in the chat. If you were to pick a snack to munch on while you were doing this, let us know what it is. Ryan, I was intrigued by your choice.
Oh, my goodness.
Ryan, what was your choice of snack?
I was curious where you were going with this. I was like, why is he talking about snacks? Why is he inviting? So, ladies and gentlemen, this is I'm having a New Year's resolution. I always start my New Year's resolutions in December because I feel like there's a little bit less pressure, and I actually usually follow through with them a month early. So, I'm now cooking all my meals, two-thirds of the meals throughout the whole week I want to cook. So, this is one of my favorite snacks. It is carrot chips. And you use just some regular old tuna and mayonnaise. So it's a bit of a tuna dip with carrots, carrot chips. So the chips are the carrots, and the dip is the tuna.
Oh, delicious. Because as I was going to get some water before the show, I just saw you over a cup just squirting.
Yes, some mayonnaise.
Yes, and
like, let me tell
you,
everyone in this booth loves the smell. they rave about it. In fact, Michael Klaus at The Only MC, it's his favorite smell on earth. So tweet at him, tunas
yes.
and carrots, Josh.
Now, please tell me, Ryan, you took the extra step and actually cut your own carrots.
I did not. I actually got them from the produce section of Ralph's, where it's pretzel. I keep saying pretzel chips. It is carrot chips. So they got some grooves. It's like someone kind of sawed them off.
That's right. Look
yeah.
at that.
I wonder if they have these in the Riverdale grocery store.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. You know, that's the one thing as we get ready to break down in this episode. We're going to talk about the ins and outs, everybody going through some therapy this episode. We'll also do some news. And not so much gossip, but just a little update on some on a personal relationship in the real life, real lives of the characters of Riverdale. So we'll touch on that at the end of the episode. But first, as we get ready to go in, as Ryan was talking about, like carrots, like the super wavy cut of carrots, but they have that in Riverdale. There's always a talk about when, you know, what year is Riverdale set in? You know, I think we all can think like, all right, I guess it's, you know, 2019. And in this episode, we see Archie set up a voice recorder, like a answering machine. And Ryan, if you were to go get an answering machine right now, so you say, hey, you know what, I need to, I'm not going to rely on my cell phone. I want to have an answering machine.
Hmm.
What would you buy?
What would I buy?
In 2019, what would you go if you wanted to have your own answering machine at home?
At home, I mean, you have to get a home phone, right?
Right, or if it was just a recorder, it would be digital, right?
It'd be digital. I mean, I think you could also get a pager for messages, right?
That's right. Yeah, it would be the Beeper King.
You'd be the Beeper King.
That's right.
That's what I would do. What do they do?
Archie has this enormous. I mean, that's like the interesting thing about Riverdale. It's that the technology and the time and place can kind of flux, where it can be very modern because you can be on the internet searching all these things. Yet, if you wanted to record phone messages, Archie has this big, huge answering machine with a cassette tape in there for 60 minutes.
Wow.
And it just seemed, in 2019, we're really using cassette tapes and answering machines.
Who would have thunk it? I mean, I'm curious what the chat thinks. Quick few shout-outs for the chat. And there's Jonathan Moulton in the background, as well as the only MC himself right here.
Look at him go.
We got External Shockwave in the chat. Thank you so much for being here each and every week. We also have Jassy Jones, Logan Knight. Logan Knight, you're dope. Amber Copeland, Fun Size 40. First time I'm seeing you here. I
yes!
bet you've been here in the past, but I'm just recognizing you right now. Please keep commenting away. We're so happy to see you each and every week.
And, you know, folks, as always, you can like us on Facebook, you can give us 5 stars on iTunes, you can subscribe to the YouTube channel and give it a thumbs up while you're there. And yes, as Ryan said, the chat is up and running, so do what you've been doing right now. Hop in, share your thoughts. But if you're watching this after we stream live, feel free to comment down below, because I know Ryan loves nothing more than to sit at home with a nice cup of tuna and mayonnaise and some carrot chips and just read the comments on the YouTube page as he's snacking away.
Mm-mm. You're darn right.
So let's dive into this episode of Riverdale. It is what I liked about this is it's very much a very character focused episode of Riverdale. And this is the fourth season of the show, and these characters have gone through a lot of issues in these 4 years. You know, whether it's cults, it's murders, so many murders that have happened over these four seasons that, you know, there is a lot of baggage that have been placed on these kids. And you would think that that would start to take its toll. And what I liked about this episode is that, hey, it gets our characters together with somebody that we haven't seen before, who's a therapist, to just, truly a school counselor, but is also a psychologist as well, to get into the inner thoughts of these characters and find out what makes them tick, what maybe is wrong with them, and can they recognize these issues and do something to correct them to change their lives as they go forward. I thought it was a really good episode for us to be able to dive deep into some of these characters. Now, what I usually will gripe about on this is that, hey, it's just the core four. Where are the rest of these characters? They're all going through issues as well. And so this actually expanded to not just our core four, but we got some Alice as well as Cheryl. And just like a nod to Kevin, we just give him a hot second talking up in front of a classroom. That was his little bit. Not much for Kevin to do this episode, which is a shame because Kevin has gone through a tremendous amount of stuff as well, too. And it would have been lovely to hear where Kevin's head is at now after going possibly joining a cult, was willing to have his organs be harvested, was still kind of teetering about joining the cult back again even after this summer. It would have been lovely to kind of think, like, how does somebody leave a cult and kind of reorganize their lives and go forward? But, maybe we'll see Miss Burble again some other time. And speaking of Mrs. Burble, you know, if you're gonna bring a therapist in, you want to bring in an A-list actor, right, Ryan?
Darn right.
Of course.
Best actors in the world can play therapists.
That's right. And for this, they grabbed Gina Torres. Yeah, you may know her from Suits. She had her own spinoff show on the USA as well, Firefly. Fantastic actress. So it was great to see her being brought into the Riverdale universe as a really cool character. One that would be interesting to see again. I don't know if we ever will, but it was I really liked it. And, you know, I guess my fear is this was great for one episode with a therapist like this and this kind of unusual kind of structured episode. But I just know that if Mrs. Burble were to stay around, eventually she's going to have some twisted back the element of her life that's going to come to the forefront. So maybe it's best that Mrs. Burble is just a one and done. That way we can just have somebody that was very helpful and beneficial to all the other characters in Riverdale without seeming to have any other ulterior motives. So I will take that. But as usual, what I like to do in this after show is kind of power rank the storylines and the characters. And, you know, we've got our core four plus Cheryl, so it's going to be five storylines in the mix. So coming in at number five for us, it was a tough one because there were all interesting elements of each of the stories. So it's very tight between these five this week. But I'm going to come in at number five for my least favorite episode, least favorite storyline, is I'm going to go with Cheryl right now. And it's tough because there was a lot of good stuff in Cheryl's therapy session with Mrs. Burble, where we really get to see Cheryl. It's one thing to admit to your girlfriend that, you know, hey, I've got my dead brother and he's down in the chapel of our family house and I talk to him and I may have absorbed my triplet brother and there's a haunted devil doll running all around our house. It's one thing to say that to a loved one, but to actually say this in a therapy-esque sort of session with somebody that's, you know, you don't really know really well was great to see Cheryl open up and talk about these thoughts, get them open, open this up to somebody else and hear what they have to say. Because it's one thing to talk to your significant other, but sometimes you need an adult with years of experience to kind of say, you know, hey, you know what? Your life is not crazy. You're not crazy. You've suffered a lot of trauma and maybe you're being gaslit. Ryan, have you ever gaslit anybody?
Gaslit anyone?
Yes.
Like betrayed them and led them astray?
Well, I mean, so much like you make them think that something is happening when it's really not.
Hmm. If I have, it's been unintentional.
Got it. Have you ever been gaslit?
Oh, yeah. Big time. I mean, I think with this industry, a lot of jobs, it makes you, I think, keep your eyes open a little more. But I think in the entertainment industry, that's a lot of the times when you're considering like getting a new job or not, you're trying to gauge whether or not you're being gaslit or if someone's, you know, all talk. Like a lot of people just like to talk and impress you by like all this stuff they've done and, oh, what can I do for you? When, you know, they might just be gaslighting. So I think you see a lot of that in the entertainment industry, as you probably very well know. So yeah, that's happened to me a few times. I don't think anything too bad to the point where it's scarred me. Like nothing's coming to mind immediately.
That's good.
I think aspects of gaslighting, maybe when I was doing a lot of internships, you know, there was a lot of travel sometimes. Like I was trying to intern a lot in New York, and I would go to New York for these interviews, and they made it sound like I had a better chance than I probably actually did for a lot of the times.
Yeah, which is frustrating. I mean, I guess, you know, I guess the one thing that makes you like have more compassion for those people and not think it's being gaslit is to be on the other side when you have people interviewing with you and then realizing like, oh, yeah, I don't want to be a total jerk. How do I handle this? And I guess you kind of realize that, oh, yeah, maybe there is some part of gaslighting, whether it's right or not, that you can't help but feel like, I don't want to be just so harsh to this person. How can I let them down or just end this in a very positive way? And maybe you overemphasize something that you really shouldn't.
For sure. And I think a lot of people in the chat are in agreeance. The same Frank is being Ryan's psychiatrist right now. Yes, he is. He's talking me through a few things.
That's right.
The Riverdale related. We have Logan Knight in the chat saying, Cheryl is my girl, but baby girl been through a lot of crap, so I'm glad she told the therapist. Her crying in the locker room broke my heart since the Vixens was the only normal thing in her life. Interesting.
No, that's true. It's, I mean, the whole reason that she does have to see Mrs. Burble, and everybody has different reasons for seeing her throughout the episode. She is brought in by the principal because there's the college admissions and rejections are coming out right now for the first round. And so he says, please do extra office hours so that people can come in and talk to you and you can help them through this. But Cheryl's is because she's had way too many absences this year, 26. I can't, I mean, Brian, looking at you, I mean, you're eating great. You've got a very upbeat attitude about life. I can't imagine you were ever sick more. I'm going to say total in all your schooling, I'm going to say you were probably only sick 5 days.
Ooh, all schooling?
All schooling.
No, believe it or not, that's incorrect.
Ooh.
I'd say it's closer to, in terms of like sick days, I bet it's closer to 15 or 20. At least once a year, I get really sick. And it's always in between like August and October. It's those 2 months. I always get really sick. Like, you know, last year I actually had mono, but I had a quick recovery, which is, I'm thankful, because a lot of people don't get that quick of a recovery. They still have it lingering, but like, I was only 2 days where, you know, okay, physically I can't go to school, but then I got better. And yeah, this year happened at the end of August. I got so sick, had to go to the hospital. It was a crazy health scare. But yeah, wow. Like, so yeah, it happens once a year with me, which I'm also kind of thankful for, because a lot of people get sick multiple times a year.
I am genuinely concerned about you from now on. I'm always going to be, I'm going to keep a special eye on you, Ryan, because we need you alive and well.
Thank you. And you can send all your concerns and support through the social media.
But Cheryl being absent for 26 days out of the school year so far, and we're not even halfway through the school year. So it's an enormous amount of absences. And so the principal decides, you know, even though you have been dealing with a mother who's abandoned you, you know, a father that's committed suicide, your brother's death that happened a few years back as well. Even though your life is going through and you're raising two twins right now by yourself and taking care of your grandmother, you know, what I'm going to do is, because of all this, clearly you don't have time to coach the cheerleading team. So I'm going to bring in an adult to supervise this. So that leads to the conversation with Mrs. Burble, that if she gives you the A-OK to still have be with the Vixens, go ahead. I'll let you have this. But if not, then you've got to just step aside and we can possibly revisit it in the future. So during the conversation with Mrs. Burble, she does open up about everything that's going on with their life. And I did like that Mrs. Burble said, hey, you know what? You're possibly being gaslit. Take this chimera test to find out if you do have chromosomes of or DNA of both you and your supposedly absorbed twin. But and even though you were so open to me, which I appreciate, as a school administration official, I can't allow you to take back the Vixens at this point. I'm still going to recommend we're going to get another coach in. We revisit it in the future, just so Cheryl has time to work on herself. Which, given everything that Cheryl has gone through, I would think, like, yeah, take a month or two to kind of figure out your own life, figure out what's going on, who's gaslighting you, and then get back to cheerleading team. Yeah, I think that I appreciated Mrs. Burble's advice and her stance. Was able to separate the therapist part from the administrator part and kind of figure out, yeah, I applaud you here, but I also need to stand firm on this part. So I dug that. But, you know, as much I mean, this is still storyline. Cheryl being gaslit is probably one of my least favorite of the season so far. So even though I did appreciate Cheryl's opening up in front of somebody that wasn't involved in her personal life about everything that she's got going on, and I'm glad to see that happen, I'm still going to probably put this as my least favorite storyline this episode. Coming in at number 4, though, surprisingly, because I've been kind of intrigued by this this storyline all season so far, and that is Jughead's. You know, certainly he's got everything that's going on at Stonewall Prep. The mystery about it was his father or his grandfather robbed of the Baxter Brothers franchise by DuPont, and they've been kind of using this as a runner throughout the course of the season that Jughead's been murdered. Archie, Veronica, and Betty know something about it, maybe involved in it, and we've been seeing these flash forwards. But this episode, I don't know. We had a little come to Jesus moment, I guess, for Jughead, which certainly Jughead can seem very righteous in his anger. True. I mean, he's always got some kind of chip on his shoulder about some mystery, some issue, some injustice done that he wants to get to the bottom of, you know, for better or for worse. And of course, this year is about his grandfather could have had this robbed of him. And even though his grandfather, by all accounts, was not a great guy, and certainly FP is not a huge fan of him at all. I mean, he was a drunk. He beat FP. Jughead is still kind of pursuing this mystery. And there is something to – it seems like there's something to it. But, you know, this basically had Mrs. Burble saying to Jughead, you know what, there may be something to this. But instead of putting your grandfather on some pedestal and using this as a reason not to try seeing him through your father's eyes and see what your father's done to overcome his past to help better himself and to help set you up for an even better future. And it felt I don't know. For me, it felt like, I don't know. Did Jughead really need that talking to? I mean, Jughead takes it as such an epiphany. And, you know, I don't know. It seemed like a little, like in a false epiphany that Jughead needed something to happen to him to this episode. And so they decided to make it this. But I felt like Jughead's a little bit more self-aware than that. So I don't know. Your mileage may vary on that. I just felt like in terms of character development and revelations and kind of figuring out what's going on in your own head, for Jughead, it felt like kind of everybody else, kind of a not very exciting development. Now, Ryan, I know you adore your grandfather.
That's right.
Of course.
Yeah, my grandfather, his name's Frank, to be honest. Yeah, it's funny. But yeah, I call him Pop Pop. And also, weird coincidence, work for the DuPont family in Delaware. I know it's not a similar,
look at that,
you know, last name there. But yeah, where are we going with this, Frank?
It's, you know, I mean, in terms of, I mean, I guess there's always, you know, the grandfather, or I should say grandfather, grandmother, mother, father, son, daughter kind of dynamic is always interesting because, you know, there can be a really strong connection between a son and a grandfather that, you know, you may not have, as, you know, in certain respects that is a different attachment to a father and son dynamic.
I definitely think there are certain things you will learn from a grandparent rather than from a parent. And a lot of people's situations, you know, their grandparents raise them. So mm-hmm. they are types of parents. They're absolutely teachers in your life. Just I think your mileage varies, as you were saying, depending on how involved your grandparents are in one's life. I was fortunate enough to live near both my sets of grandparents. And yeah, like I was saying, my pop-pop, he always was golf. It was like, hey, I'm going to show you guys golf, because he loves golf. And also he loves football. So I was always – he introduced to me like a lot of stuff about sports. So I definitely think there are certain things, you know, your grandparents can teach you rather than your parents.
I would agree with that. I mean, I never lived close to either of my grandparents, or on both sides of my family, so never really had those strong of connections with them. So I learned nothing. Ryan,
it's another teacher in your life, but yeah, that's unfortunate because, you know, it's just another voice that can teach you things, I guess, when you're younger.
Yeah, very true. And just to ask a quick question,
yeah.
Your father, huge sports fan as well?
Yes, he is, and that's one thing that they had in common. Which is really cool. It's funny because, you know, I'm from the East Coast, Delaware, Philadelphia area, so I'm an Eagles fan, but my grandfather was a Cowboys fan, so we always had a rivalry going on there, but it was playful.
Your grandfather's a Cowboys fan?
I know. Isn't that awful? But he's very self-aware Cowboys fan. And to be fair, he did live in Dallas for 2 or 3 years, which I always get a little on edge when people aren't from there and they still cheer for him. So he does have, you know, his reasonings, but he's aware and he knows if they're good or bad.
Oh, man. I feel like Dallas is one of those teams that I root for them to lose.
Yes, that and the Patriots. I'll be honest. I don't like either of them. And yeah, at me, chat. And speaking of the chat.
Oh, lay it on us.
Lay it on us. Let's go here. We got Jazzy Jones saying Jughead is definitely going to keep investigating. I think that's what you were saying, Frank.
Yes.
We also have External Shockwave. Frank is digging up on your past and finding stuff out, Ryan. He's your therapist. I know he is. This is therapist Frank. He's going to reveal all the dark secrets of mine. And Billie Jean Girl entering the chat. Thank you
Love
again,
it.
Billie Jean Girl. You're here every week. Love your support. Oh, I hope he's not dead too. Talking to Jazzy Jones with Jughead, or with who they're investigating. Also commenting on the ending scene, of course, it had to be those jerks and students from Stonewall to accuse Archie, Veronica, and Betty. They probably killed Jughead and blame Archie, Veronica, and Betty for it. Interesting prediction.
I mean, to jump ahead, because we've been using the Jughead runner throughout the course of the episode, or the course of the season, this one does have another one, as Billie Jean was mentioning there, where we do get to see Archie, Betty, and Veronica put into lineup. As we have the two kids that have been a thorn in Jughead's side all year at Stonewall, identify them as the people that killed Jughead. The more I see these flash forwards, the more I could buy into the theory that's being spread around that we're just seeing scenes from Jughead's story as opposed to real life. I don't know. I'll be curious. I mean, I guess the only way to know if it's not is until we get further into next year. And we see the back end of this season to kind of see what's going. But I'm right now, I could easily buy into if this is all just scenes of Jughead's story being brought to life, I could totally buy into that. So that's where I am with these flash forwards so far. And we'll see if my opinion changes as we get a few more. So that was we got 5 as Cheryl, 4 as Jughead, 3. You know, it was tough, but I'm going to put Archie. And the reason I'm going to put Archie in is because Archie's a dum-dum. Archie makes a lot of bad decisions. But it was interesting to see Archie talk to Mrs. Burble about just how angry he is all the time. You know, his friends have been hurt. His father's died. He's angry all the time. And, you know, we haven't really got to see, like, much into the inner thoughts and workings of Archie after the passing of Fred earlier at the beginning of the season. And everything that's happened to him. I mean, the guy fought a bear. And he's got a huge scar from fighting a bear in the woods. I mean, Ryan, that alone is enough stories and baggage for one lifetime.
It's pretty badass.
Yeah. I mean,
as I munch on my carrot tuna.
I mean, Ryan, if you ever fought a bear...
Oh, man.
I mean, wouldn't that be something that, I mean, would pretty much, you know, come out in a lot of conversations?
I'd bring it up every other word, I think.
Well, that might be
too
much.
Yeah, I wrestled with a bear, you know? I'm on the Vikings after show. I wrestled a bear this week, so I'm qualified. I mean, funny enough, there are a lot of bears where I'm from. A lot of black bears, brown bears. But, yeah, no, I mean, that's an impressive feat. I mean, we've all seen The Revenant.
Yes.
We can see what damage bears can do.
That's true.
Bears beats Battlestar Galactica. Come on.
Yeah, and wasn't The Wild, that's one with Anthony Hopkins and Alec Baldwin. They fight a bear.
Another great example.
There you go.
I would be proud of that. I would flaunt that. Flaunt that fact. That's like a hole in one.
So Archie's, of course, dealing with this. And he, for better or for worse, I feel like Archie's biggest thing right now is that he is feeling he needs to step into Fred's shoes and the ideal of Fred and what Fred would do for Riverdale. And I think Fred would want nothing more than for Archie to be the best version of Archie, not the best version of Fred. And I don't think Archie has figured that out yet. And understandably so. I mean, it's tough. I mean, the father's just, you know, his father's just died. He's still reconciling how he feels all this. He's processing it. As you said, he's angry all the time. So it really hasn't given much shot a thought about that. But I think that's what Archie needs to do. And hopefully through the course of this season, Archie's going to realize that I can't, as much as I want to be helpful to people, I've got to be helpful in my own way, whether that means staying in Riverdale or leaving Riverdale, applying for colleges and getting out, and then maybe at some point in the future coming back and making a difference in the town. I don't know. But I feel like Archie needs to realize that he's got to be the best him, not the best Fred Andrews. There's only one Fred Andrews. He's sadly gone. So let's just see the best Archie Andrews. But he does share with the therapist, though, excuse me, that he's been donning a mask and being a vigilante. And you know, getting into it with ne'er-do-wells in Riverdale, which I loved. I would just to be Mrs. Burble takes it in stride. I mean, she's genuinely concerned about, you know, Archie's choices, but it's like I don't think that's at all what she was expecting during that conversation with Archie, knowing that of course his father died. So dealing with that, processing that grief, but not expecting like, oh, I also put on a mask at night and I try to fight crime. Mrs. Burble's thought is, hey, just do something different that doesn't involve you doing violence or getting involved in altercations and possibly harming yourself. Just expand your resources. Get more people to volunteer at the center. Also put in maybe a hotline. Ryan, I'm going to drink a glass of water for a second.
You drink a glass of water. I'm actually surfing on our iTunes review page, and I did want to do a quick shout-out.
Oh, yes.
We do have an iTunes review, which is so awesome, y'all. Sorry, I'm reading it. That's why I can't put the camera on my face. But this is great coverage from the one and only Victoria Burr. Thank you so much, Victoria. That's great. So we have awesome iTunes fans out there. And from a Steph, it's awesome. I love this Riverdale After Show. Listen to every episode and enjoy the back and forth. Never stop doing this show. I need Riverdale talk in my life. Thank you so much for listening, Steph.
That's Ryan. I think we have to do this forever.
Forever. We're locked in, just like the actors in this show.
That's right. They will be doing Riverdale forever.
Yes, and hopefully we can get a few in studio.
That would be great. I mean, come on by. You know, talk to Ryan.
Tweet at him, chat.
Yeah. I mean,
let's get him in here.
Ryan will make a lovely tray of sliced carrots and tuna and mayonnaise.
Baby carrots. We'll have some tuna. We'll have some raw tuna. cooked tuna, ahi tuna rolls. We'll have sushi. It'll be an amazing event.
Beautiful. Oh my goodness.
Beautiful.
What was corny about Archie's storyline though is that he goes deciding the way that he could help out his mom, because you know there was a drive-by shooting at the house. At the community center for Thanksgiving, Dodger's family held everybody at gunpoint. So the way he figures that he could keep her safe is by moving out and living in the community center for a while, just until Dodger's caught and things die down. I would say that that's not the right thing to do, because if you knew people were after you, if you were to move out of where you're living with your loved ones, certainly you're taking the target with you. But I also think that you're still leaving your loved ones very vulnerable, because if you're not there to protect them as well, what's to stop them from just going right to that house that you've just left and going in and attacking them, and you're not there to stop that? Am I wrong in thinking that, Ryan?
You are not wrong in thinking that. However, I do think you got to give him some credit, right?
Do you? I mean, I guess he's 18, so he can live where he wants. I still think that if your family was in jeopardy, wouldn't you stay around so you could protect them?
You should, but the question is that always the case? What's realistic, Frank?
I know. Well, what I thought was really corny was Archie, of course, is getting a couple of pieces of his clothing and stuff at the help center. He does pick up the mask that he's been using when he goes to fight crime. And, you know, he does this Peter Parker moment where he says, you know, hey, Spider-Man no more. And he throws the costume in the garbage can and he walks away. Iconic cover from Amazing Spider-Man. He does that where he throws the mask into the garbage inside the office of the community center. And you know that as soon as you saw the mask just kind of land on the side of the trash can, not going in completely, it's just kind of dangling on the sides, you knew as soon as that was there that mask was coming out of that garbage can by the end of the episode. And sure enough, it does, because Archie gets a call on the answering machine. And there's somebody saying that there's a young student, young child calling, saying their mom is being beaten and needs help. He's scared, both for himself and for his mom. And so Archie, of course, first instinct, grab that mask. He puts it in his pocket. He doesn't put it on. But I feel like, all right, Archie, you're not paying any attention. It's like, I always feel like with Archie, it's one step forward, two steps back. So
there's a great Bruce Springsteen song.
Sing a line.
Called One Step Up. And it's about just that, Frank.
About putting on a mask and fighting crime?
Yep, but it's actually a euphemism for marriage.
Oh, perfect. All right.
Yes.
Coming in for storyline number two, as I'm going to go with Betty's. I thought there was a really interesting conversation between Betty and Alice, and it really called out a lot of the issues that I've always had with Alice since the beginning of the series, that she invades Betty's privacy constantly. She's very controlling. And Alice really lets slip out in this that of the three children that she's had Charles, who she thought was lost to her, then she's had Polly, and then she had Betty, the youngest. That out of all three, the why she keeps being so hard and so overprotective and so smothering towards Betty as opposed to the other two is that she loves Betty most. I feel like that's got to be an interesting thing for a parent to say and admit in their hearts. I mean, you think if you have multiple children, you know, while every parent will say, oh, I love all my children equally, I think secretly inside there must be a power ranking of your children.
Is that right? I'm not the parent here, though.
I'm a parent, but I only have one, so that's fine. She's always going to be my favorite, which is easy.
Okay.
I can tap out on that. Boom. She's my favorite, but I think if you get more than one, there's got to be a power ranking. How many brothers and sisters do you have, Ryan?
Got one brother.
One brother.
Younger
so just the
brother,
two of you.
Brett. Yeah.
All right. Now, I mean, I'm sure between the two of you, I mean, growing up, there's always a talk. Like, who does mom or dad love most? You always talk about that amongst yourselves, but for your parents, do you ever think that your parents kind of like, all right, let's rank our kids. Who do we love more than the other?
Easy, Frank.
What do you think?
Easy.
What do you think?
Well, clear bias, because I'm one of the options, right?
Right.
I think my parents are – I'm thankful, again, to have such awesome parents.
Absolutely.
They're very – I think they were very equal with both of us.
All right.
And maybe they – but I do think they rank us in certain areas. Like if it's business – it's my brother.
Got it.
Maybe if it's conversation, I would put myself on that pedestal. If it's
Star Wars,
I put myself on that pedestal. But then again, if it's like Succession, it's probably my brother.
But I thought that was a really it was an insight more into Alice's character and the dynamic between her and Betty. But I thought that was a really great scene between Alice and Betty inside Mrs. Burble's office. I really liked that. I thought it was just it finally had somebody calling Alice out on a lot of the stuff that she's done over the course of the series and just how nutso it is. And just to hear Alice's rationale for it and reasoning, it just really cut to the heart of that relationship. And I'm really curious to see where they go from here. I mean, certainly Alice has a habit of when she's called out on something, she will try to correct and it'll last for a little bit, but then just goes back to form. This one, though, I mean, the truths that were said in this conversation between them, I'm hoping that the steps that have been taken to kind of correct the relationship are more of a permanent nature. We'll see what happens, though. And coming to number one, my favorite storyline this week, though, was Veronica's storyline. Yes, that takes the number one spot this week. There is such a dynamic between Veronica and Hiram. She can't stand her father, and yet, as in their conversation with Mrs. Burble, she still lives at home. It's hard to say that you resent everything about your father, yet you still live under his roof. And if he still calls for you, you still go. And what happens for Veronica, which drives her to this conversation with Mrs. Burble, is that she finally gets into Harvard, her dream school, only to, when she gets the call from the dean of Harvard, find out that her father, you know, maybe kind of greased the wheels to get her into Harvard. And so, yeah. And so to know that, hey, I will never know if I would have got accepted just on my own merits. If your parents kind of greased the wheels for you, Ryan, would you be resentful?
Yes.
Feeling like they've taken away your opportunity to know for yourself if you've earned it? Or do you see it as like they're just doing, they love me, they're trying to help me?
For school?
For school or anything in life?
For school, yes. School? Maybe anything in life that's a little more vague.
Okay.
If it's a connection career-wise, I would be very grateful and encourage that.
Okay.
That's happened once or twice.
Oh, nice.
But school-wise, yeah, no, I'd absolutely be resentful for that. I mean, the whole college admission scandal happened earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
Great example. I mean, the kids got bombarded for that, and they had little or nothing to do with that. I mean, it's a poor reflection on yourself and your family, really.
Yeah.
It's cheating.
No, very true. And what I did like, though, is that, which I think is true, like the things that make you angry about a parent can also be the things that have helped make you into the quote-unquote success, to whatever that means in your life, to the success that you are in that stage. Because you may not have liked what your parents were like, but by them having that impact on your life, it has forced you, it's molded you into this direction, which has allowed you to become as driven as you are, or whatever the case may be. So I did like that with Mrs. Burble calling out that, yes, you and Hiram are obsessed with each other. There's and not in a Oedipal way or anything like that, but there is just a deep cosmic connection between the two of you, and that you are, if you keep playing into what Hiram wants of you, you're going to be stuck and you're going to end up destroying your own life. And so Veronica makes a choice to reject Harvard, and to the way she's going to metaphorically murder Hiram is by starting her own rum business and destroying him. So I would be curious. I really liked them just really addressing this odd dynamic between Hiram and Veronica, and I'm really curious to see where this goes for the rest of the season, because out of all the relationships, that is the one that is that is very mystifying to me. And so I'm excited to see that. So that was my power ranking for this week's top five stories. If you disagree, feel free to chime away in the chat or a comment after the show and let us know what you think your favorite storylines were. We'd love to hear about them. But before we wrap up, Ryan, super hot, fast news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Two bits of news. We'll go with the personal news first here. Camila Mendez, Charles Melton, they have decided to put a pause on their relationship just after recently celebrating a year together. Of course, very busy with their own lives, yes. They decided they kind of maybe went got into it really deep when I quickly and decided, hey, maybe we should put the brakes on for a little bit and just see what happens as we're juggling our various careers. And so they're on a pause for right now. And I know Ryan is choked up about that. Look at
him. That is cause for concern.
Yes.
But, I mean, very mature, I think, if it was mutual. And that's a, you know, whenever you hear a celebrity breakup statement, it's definitely probably not the whole truth, but this is a little bit more on the honest side, I feel.
Yeah, and it was interesting, the choice of wording. We're going to put a pause on this relationship. Not like that we're done
right,
or anything like that. It was just a pause.
Yeah, I mean, I you don't hear that a lot, I think, with celebrities in terms of breakups. You don't hear that verbiage.
You know what? I'm going to be honest with you, Ryan, in front of everybody here watching and listening here on the Riverdale After Show.
Yeah?
I'm never going to put the pause button on you.
Oh, my goodness. Frank, thank you.
And lastly, we've known that Katie Keene, in fact, it's going to be starting February 6th. It's a Tuesday there on the CW. The Katie Keene is the spinoff from Riverdale. Takes place 5 years in the future with Katie Keene living in New York. Josie's going to be on there as well. It's going to be all the trials and tribulations that Katie and Josie, and there's one more character on there they're going to get up to in the Big Apple. But to kind of, as a prelude to this, Katie Keene is going to be visiting Riverdale after we get back from the winter break. So Veronica is going to go travel to New York for college admission interviews, and she's going to go hang out with Katie for a little bit. So we'll get to see Katie Keene present day, and then once Katie Keene, the series starts in February, we'll get to see her 5 years in the future living her best life there in the Big Apple. So our little bit of news item there for that. And folks, speaking of the winter break there, next week is the winter finale of Riverdale. Holy cow. We'll see where they decide to leave things hanging as we're gone for a little while before we come back here for the spring premiere. But rest assured, Ryan and I will be back next week to break it all down for you and, you know, see if we can set you up right for that long winter's nap.
You're darn right, Frank. And, you know, you said you wouldn't put a pause on us. Well, I'm not going to put a pause on the chat either. Thank you so much for tuning in each and every week and not putting a pause on us. External Shockwave, Jesse Jones, Logan Knight, Billy Jean Girl, the Lose 40. Thank you each and every week. You're always your Mercenary X84. Thank you all for tuning in. It means the world for us. Please hit that like button, subscribe, and give us an iTunes review, and we will shout it out.
Yes! Folks, as always, thanks so much for joining us. We couldn't do the show without you. I mean, you know, Ryan and I, we could do it, but it would be not nearly as much fun. But
true.
Folks, if you want to stay in touch with either Ryan or myself, even after the show's over, Ryan, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Rye Nilsen. That's R-Y-N-I-L-S-E-N. Awesome tweets there. And on Instagram at Ryan Nilsen, N-I-L-S-E-N _. Please follow, and I'll follow back.
And don't forget, we got over Thursday, we've got the Star Wars news.
That's right. And Steph Sabra and I, we do a Star Wars news show tomorrow, 4 p.m. PST. Tune in. Give us your comments on all the Star Wars news. We're talking everything from the new video game to the movie to The Mandalorian.
Oh, can't wait. Can't wait. It is must. It's appointment viewing. Basically, folks, is what
thank you
should know. Folks, follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. That's going to do for us. We'll be back here next Wednesday night for the fall finale of Riverdale right here on AfterBuzz TV.
And me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.